Accession number 30,005, Mr. Ted Hitchcock, Reel 1. Could you tell me when and where you were born, Mr. Hitchcock?
I was born on Armistice Day, 1920.
And whereabouts? Where were your parents living?
Sorry?
Where were your parents living?
And I was born in Bingham.
Which is where you're living now. So
where I live now.
Now, can you tell us a bit about your parents and your family background? What was that like?
My father was a jeweller. He was in partnership with his father. And eventually, when the old fella died, Dad took the business on.
So he had premises, what, on the main street?
He had premises in the marketplace.
Was he fairly prosperous?
Yes, he seemed to do very well.
And how many were there in the family?
There's only me.
And where did you live then?
I was born in the schoolhouse, the church schoolhouse, and then we moved on to Longacre. And then when I got married, I moved to number 1 Longacre. That was about 3-4 doors away from where I'd spent my youth.
So you had a pretty comfortable back upbringing then?
Yes. I lost my mother when I was 11, and my father and I moved in with the grandparents at the shop, and the old fella died just before the war started.
What, your grandfather?
Yeah. Yes.
Now, what about your education? Tell us a bit about that.
I went to a civil service college in Leicester.
No, hang on, before that. Your education, school.
Well, local. That was a local school.
And how did you do at school?
Oh, pretty fair.
Any particular subjects you were good at or bad at or liked or disliked?
No, not really, I suppose. I was fairly good at drawing, but apart from that. And like you, I played cricket.
Was that your sport?
Yes, I played cricket and football for Bingham. In fact, I captained both in my time. And I also played tennis for Bingham.
The sport was important to you?
This is a village. And in those days, there was not a lot to do. I mean, there was a boys' brigade and things like that, but sports clubs, and it was natural, really, to join the sports clubs. I mean, now we've got goodness knows how many football teams and whatnot, but in those days, there was only the one, same as the cricket team.
Now, were you in any of the boys' brigade or boys' scouts?
Oh, yes, I was in the boys' brigade.
Now, what did you do with them? What sort of how military was it, and what sort of activities?
It was pretty good, actually. We were taught to drill, which came in very useful when I went in the forces. And also, the local branch had a tumbling team and also a parallel bar team, and I was in both. We went to camp every year.
What would you do there?
Well, I don't know. We first 2 or 3 times we went to Skegness, and most of the time we spent playing football. I think we always went at Whitson, but it didn't make any difference. We still played football.
And so now, how many qualifications at school before you went on to the college?
No, No.
So what made you go to the college? What college did you go to? Tell me about that again.
I went to a civil service college in Leicester called Clark's. And it was mainly due, I think, to the fact I'd got an uncle who was in Somerset House. And he wanted me to get it for the civil service. So that was that. But
now, when did you start there? When you were 14 or?
No, I'd be a bit less, because I went into the school for a start. Yes, I don't know, about 11 or 12, I think.
You attended a college at 11 or 12?
Pardon?
You attended a college at 11 or 12?
Well, there was a school, you see. There was the college, there was the civil service side, the business side, and also there was a school. And it was usual for Bods to go to the school, and then, when they were, 14, I think, went to the college.
So that's what you did?
Yeah.
And how did you do at the civil service college? What were you learning?
Well, the thing was that we were going for the civil service exam. And the master said there was an exam coming up, and he said, we haven't done the curriculum, but it will be good experience. So we sat for that, and of course we didn't do all that well because we hadn't covered all the subjects. And then I took it again the following year, and it was one of those things with the civil service exam. Sometimes lots of bods were needed, and other times there were very few. And the pass mark was, the number rather that they wanted was very few this particular time, so I didn't get in. I failed it. Anyway, short time afterwards, this job occurred at the local council, and I was offered the job and I took it.
So you gave up on the civil service?
Yeah.
So what job, what year did you start for the council, and what were you doing?
Started for the council in April 1939. And I was in the rating department.
So were you a clerk or what?
Well, yes, but I mean, it was, we had 40 parishes. Bingham RDC consisted of 40 parishes. So we did rate collection, rent collection, and property rating as well. It was done by local authorities then. And then, it was taken over by the government. But it was quite an interesting job. It was an outside job as well as an inside job. We had plenty of work outside, and it was quite interesting.
Now, so you're doing that, and you'd be still doing that when the war broke out, would it? You hadn't joined the territorials or anything, had you?
No.
No. And you hadn't been in the army cadets or anything?
No, I'd been in the boys' brigade, but that was it.
So what happened? What do you remember of the day war broke out? It's the old thing. Where were you? What were you doing?
Well, I can remember it, but I mean, there'd been a build-up for it for some time. But I know when the war started. Oh, actually, the local authority had their own fire brigade. It was only a small effort. It was a trailer pump and an Austin 12, I think. And I joined the auxiliary fire service.
After the war started?
No, before the war started, as soon as I started with the council.
Tell us about the outbreak of war then. Did you hear the broadcast?
Pardon?
Did you hear the broadcast from Chamberlain?
I can't remember. I'm sure I must have done.
How did it affect you? I mean, did you think you'd be caught up in it? Because you'd be about 19 then, 18, just 18.
Yes, it was 1939, I was 18.
Do you think it would affect you, or what did you think?
Well, as soon as it started, of course. I mean, we'd been building up to it. I wanted to get in, and I'd made up my mind that I wanted to go in the RAF.
Right, okay.
And if I went in the RAF, I wanted to fly. So that was it. And then I know, as my colleagues were called up or volunteered, I know I used to talk about it a lot with the fellow in the office. And I remember one day he slid his chair back, he took his glasses off, and he started to chew one side. And he said to me, "You're not going to settle down, my lad. The best thing you can do is volunteer, and if you don't get what you want, don't go." And a few nights afterwards, they were calling out for wireless operators, for air gunners, on the news. So I wrote to the recruiting office, and I got a letter back saying there were no vacancies.
Now, when was this?
This was early 40. May 40. And then the following night they were on again, so I wrote again. And I got a letter saying, come into the recruiting office. So I went in.
And which recruiting office? Was it in Bingham or in...
No, it was in Nottingham, actually.
Whereabouts?
On London Road. It was London Road Schools. So I went along and he said, "You're keen, aren't you?" I said, "Well, you're crying out for gunners, and I'm interested in guns. I'm the right age and I'm fit." So he said, "I'll tell you what I'll do. If you pass the medical here, I'll recommend you for an aircrew selection board." But he said, if you go to the aircrew selection board and you pass, and there's still no vacancies, you've got the option of going home and waiting to be called up, or doing 3 months ground defence." Well, ground defence eventually became the RAF regiment. So I said, "Right, I'll take 3 months ground defence." I said, "I'm working for a board, not a boss. So... you know, I can't mess around." So he said, "Fair enough. We'll let you know when to come for the medical." So I said, "So what about now?" I said, "This bloke's wandering about with bottles and all the rest of it." And they were doing medicals for called up odds. "Oh," he says, "we don't work like that." I said, "Well, it's difficult for me to get off." Oh, he said, "Hang on a minute." And he disappeared for a few minutes, and he came back and he said, "Third door on the left, Dr. So-and-so." So I went along and saw him and passed. Went back to the recruiting chappie. And I said, "Right, aircrew selection board. He said, yes, I'll do that for you. It'll be 2 or 3 weeks, I would think. And that was it.
Now, what happened when you went to the aircrew selection test?
Oh, right, that was at Cardington.
Now, tell me about them.
And went into, I think there were 5 top-ranking officers, I think, sitting on the board. And the first question was, why do you want to be an air gunner? So I told them I was interested in guns and whatnot. And then one of them tried to persuade me to take a navigation course. And I said, no, I wanted this. Anyway, they gave me one that tested me, what's your trigonometry like and all the rest of it. And I know I did quite well, actually, so I wasn't bothered about that. And then in the end, the big boy, he looked at me and he said, well, I'm sorry. He said, we can't accept you as an air gunner. He said, there are so many failures from the signals course that I can offer you wireless operator air gunner. So I said, right, and that was it.
Before we go on,
that would be about May, I think.
Now, before we go on, you mentioned you're in the fire brigade.
Yeah.
Did that involve anything? We just better do that before we go on, you know, get what did it was the council fire brigade, or was it? Or the
yes, we went out to all sorts of things.
Well, tell us a bit about that. What did it mean?
Well, it meant that, as a matter of fact, the fella lived here. He was fire chief. He was actually deputy surveyor. And he took on the job as fire chief. And the assistant lived on Market Street. So when there was a fire call...
Now, hang on. What uniform or training did you get before, you know?
Well, we used to do weekly training.
What time?
Mainly using the hose pipe. And it was a call out. So when they got a call, I used to get outside on my bike, and I had about 3 bods to warn. And then we used to get back to it was at the council offices actually, to the car, and that was it. We used to build up the crew like that. I went and woke somebody up and told them there was a fire, and he went and woke somebody else up, and we built up like that.
Now, what equipment did you have?
Well, we got a Worthington Simpson trailer pump, and that was it.
That was just like an old-fashioned fire engine?
Well, yeah, it's a trailer pump, you know, towed behind the car. They've got no fire engine. We got one eventually, but at first it was this Austin car.
Just towed a little pump. Where did you get the water from?
Oh, the hydrants and whatnot.
So the nearest hydrant?
Oh, yes, we used to connect into the hydrants.
And did you have many fires?
We had, I went out to 3 aircrafts. And we went out to one village that had incendiary bombs dropped across the village. That was quite interesting.
What do you remember about that?
Go on.
What do you remember about it?
Well, one thing I remember was the 2 fellas with a pump and a bucket of water playing around with it, trying to put out one of these efforts, And chappy I was with had got hold of the branch, the jet, and he got fed up with watching him, so he hit the thing with the jet and it disappeared. We got a call that somebody had seen one of these things smoking on somebody's roof. So we went along to the house, and it was an old couple, and this thing had burnt through the roof, and it had got through the ceiling as well, and it was on top of a wardrobe, and the old couple was still in bed. So we woke them up, and it shook them a bit. They were a bit shaken. So I think there were three of us. We got them downstairs and we mashed some tea for them and whatnot. And then, we didn't mash, that was it, we didn't mash. We got them downstairs and the old dear said to her husband, she said, I think we should give them a drink. So he said, yes, a good idea, she said, put the kettle on. So we had a cup of tea. Now that, the aircraft.
Yeah, what happened when you attended them? You said you were a couple of them, or two or three?
Gone?
You said you attended two or three aircraft.
Yes.
Well, are they crashed aircraft or what?
Yes, there were. One was... It hit a tree, I think it was a blame. But the trouble there was that the petrol had soaked into the ground and there was odd patches of flame. And the fire chief said, cover them over. So we got a spade, and as soon as we put the spade in, of course, that caught. But
there was a spark.
Well, the ground was saturated with petrol. And then we had to watch it because there were one or two bullets went off. Another one was a Bolton Paul Defiant. And they'd found the pilot and that thought that was it, you see. But in actual fact, there was another bod. And what I remember about that was an army unit, quite close. And when we got there, they were walking off with a propeller. Everybody was after souvenirs. But that seemed to be it.
And you didn't mention, did you have a uniform or were you just in your civvies?
Oh yes, you had a uniform.
So what was the uniform?
Well, it was a tunic and waterproof slacks, waterproof trousers and Wellington boots. Yeah.
Now, was there much bombing? Again, before we go on to your time when you joined, was there much bombing in the Bingham area?
I mean, no, not a lot. Not a lot.
Any air raid precautions? I mean, did you have a cell or an Anderson or anything, shelter?
We didn't have a shelter, no. But there were shelters. There were shelters built that people used, but we were lucky. We didn't get any bombing in Bingham itself. Not
did
that
you see them going over to Nottingham or anywhere?
Pardon?
Would you see them passing overhead? Going to Nottingham or?
Well, yes. I mean, there were, when there was a raid on, I'm afraid... We used to go out and have a look at it, you know. I suppose it was a silly thing to do, but if it was over Nottingham, you could see the ack-ack and whatnot. But fortunately, we didn't get any problem here.
Did food rationing affect you much?
Food rationing, oh yes.
Tell us about that.
Well, you're in the country, you know. So people are inclined to look after themselves, and there were, I remember we had a food office in Bingham, and you could keep a pig, or you could share a pig, or my girlfriend's father was a farmer, so my dad shared a pig with him. It's all above board and all the rest of it, but it was allowed, and you were supposed to feed it at least, I think, twice a week, you know, if you weren't looking after it. But anyway, you got through like that, you know, the one or two families with pigs, and they always made sausages and whatnot and shared it out. We didn't do too bad.
Now, what about when you joined? So when did you actually go then? When were you called up? So you passed the aircrew, you know, selection test. You were going to be a wireless operator air gunner. When were you actually called in then?
I was there. I was at Carlington.
That was actually it then?
That was actually it, yeah.
So where were you actually sent to?
Now,
did you do some training at Carlington?
No, there wasn't any training at Carlington. You went from there to Blackpool, I think, for square bashing.
That's the RAF reception centre, or aircrew reception centre?
Well, no. It recruits were sent to Blackpool and you were billeted out, and you did a fortnight square bashing and whatnot.
So when was that, May or June?
Well, I can't remember. It would be May. It would be when I joined up.
So when you got there, what were your billets like?
They were pretty good. Yes, they were private billets. They varied a lot, but I was lucky. I did all right for billets.
What was yours like? Was it a lodging house?
There was
a lot in there.
Well, yes, there were holiday, a lot of them were holiday residents, you see. They were used to entertaining the public for holidays. Oh yes, they were not too bad.
Did they treat you well?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
What kind of drill were you doing?
Oh, you just the normal square bashing.
How did you take to it? You've done it before with the.
Well, yes, apart from rifle drill. We did rifle drill as well. I'd never done any of that.
And how did you take to it?
All right, it took it in your stride.